You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, coming to you live from inside the Grimace's Child Prison. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Well, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out, and I am definitely not stalling because I forgot to bring up the soundboard. Definitely not. This is a thing that...
I really didn't think we were going to use Grimace Child Prison, but here we are.
And check it out.
Check it out!
Jackpot.
Jackpot. all right. So, check-em-outs. Who's got some check-em-outs?
Man, that was the coldest of cold open.
Hey, it works. You know what? We're right into it. Sometimes it just comes naturally.
You got to strike when the iron's
hot.
Yep, that's it.
You can't question it. Sometimes you just got to go.
You just got to roll. You know, we had this whole... Before this, we were planning out all of our defunct food mascots, and I thought that was going to be the intro. I was ready to call myself Mac tonight, but you know what? This one worked just that much better.
Oh, man. The Taco Bell Chihuahua dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like you could buy all those little plushes from Taco Bell.
I think I had all of those as a kid.
I'm surprised he hasn't come back. It's about that time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, stuff we've been checking out. I got like a quick one.
Sure, let's hear it.
So this game studio called either Wild Thing Games or Wild Animal Games, something like that.
Okay.
They made a kind of a sort of battle royale MOBA style arena shooter called Zumba, where all the characters are like animals and you're like in escaping a zoo or something.
So they didn't call it Fur Night?
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's right there.
It is. Yeah.
Well, anyway, right there. They just brought out another game.
Okay.
Loosely set within the same universe, but the art style is a little different. But it's called Suspect's Mystery Mansion.
All right.
It's basically Among Us, but a little better.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, so far they only have one map. It's like this big mansion with the surrounding grounds of it.
Yeah. So what makes it better?
Well, graphically, it just looks better. Like the art's a lot prettier.
Well, yeah.
Runs a little smoother.
Among Us looks like a Newgrounds Flash game, but I mean, yeah. that's what they're going for.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Art's a little better. It has native voice chat.
Oh, interesting. So you don't have to fire up Discord on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
You have all these other characters you can unlock and stuff. And instead of displaying your handle is in the game,
mm-hmm.
it just displays the name of whatever character you are. But only each person can only be one character.
Okay.
And then of course,
so there's a little extra subterfuge.
Not so much subterfuge, but more like it makes it a little easier to designate people and, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, stuff like that. And each character is a distinct color and is distinct animal.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
And it has all kinds of things where, like, you know, the guests of the mansion have tasks to complete.
Like
Among Us.
Sure.
And then the killer or killers obviously have to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you win games, is either the killer or the guests or whatever you want to call it, you gain what's called IQ points. And the more IQ points you accumulate, the other game modes you unlock.
I was going to say, the larger your animal's head gets. And it just keeps getting larger. I mean, larger.
They're pretty big as it is. Like, they got, like, big old heads.
Yeah.
But now you unlock other game modes.
Like, now I want to make that game.
But you just call it, like, Big Brain or something like that. Because you can't call it Megamind.
Yeah.
As you get higher, you unlock other stuff. Because like you start out in beginner mode where it's a smaller group of people, only one killer, and the map, like certain parts of the map are closed off you can't get to.
Okay, interesting.
And then as you go up, you go to intermediate mode where you get a larger group of people and two killers, plus an inspector. One player gets to be the inspector,
mm-hmm.
and they can walk up to people and scan them or whatever.
Oh,
and
right on.
It'll tell you if they have any kills, how many steps they've taken, stuff like that.
Interesting.
But if you out yourself as the inspector too early, it makes you a target kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
And I haven't gotten there yet, but I've heard in advanced mode, they don't even tell you if you kicked out a guest or a killer, just said you kicked somebody out.
Gotcha.
When you go to the vote stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new mode coming out, and I think it might be available today. It might be a limited event kind of thing, but one person gets to be the vigilante, and you can kill the killers. So it adds a whole nother level. Are you a killer or are you a vigilante?
Oh, gotcha.
Kind
okay.
of role.
Oh, no, that sounds interesting. It sounds much better than Among Us. Unfortunately, Among Us is so big, it's never going to...
It's never
going to get there.
I've heard the servers in Among Us are a little light nowadays.
Like, oh, really?
It feels like the fad is kind of passed on that
one. Yeah, everyone's going back to Fortnite.
Well, they got Lara Croft in there now.
Get their fork knives.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've been playing it. It's not bad. Though I've heard in advanced mode, because I don't know if a lot of people aren't there. Oh, when you lose a match, you lose IQ points too.
Oh,
so you could drop back down into like the stuff.
Gotcha.
But I've heard when you get really high up, there are less people to make servers because you might be sitting there a while a server fills up.
Makes sense.
I'll bet if you get
far enough.
If you get far enough, the people you play with get increasingly more insufferable.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's one feature with the native voice chat stuff that I absolutely love. If somebody's got like either like a really noisy mic, like a lot of background noise, or it's just a really annoying screaming kid or something, mm-hmm. people in the room can mute that person.
Oh, perfect.
But you can mute them, and it gives you a reason for muting. And if enough people in the lobby mute that person, they will be kicked out before the next match.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Also, the more people who hit mute, the longer the mute time is, because a lot of times, like if just one person mutes them, it's like only like 10 seconds. But if mm-hmm. everybody in the group does it, it's like 300 and something odd seconds.
Oh, wow.
Also, the game, when you go into the actual map, like when you're in the vote screen and whatnot, everyone can talk and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the actual game, the game automatically turns off the mic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about switching your stuff off and whatnot. Kind of like when you're playing Among Us with Discord and you might accidentally not turn your mic off and everyone can hear you doing tasks or killing people.
Oh, gotcha. So what was the name of this one again?
Suspects Mystery Mansion.
Okay. I may have to check that out. That sounds really interesting. Very cool. Okay. So check them out on my end. I 100% completed Age of Calamity.
Congratulations. Oh, awesome. You're free.
For now, until the DLC comes. It's not worth 100% completing.
Oh,
I had to. So one of the things that they don't tell you until the very end for 100% completion, you have to find all of the hidden Koroks.
Oh no,
not again.
So it forces you to go back through every single major level, the worst part of the game, and play them a second time
to find the stupid
little extra plant things, because you have to find every single one to complete 100% of the spots.
Even Breath of the Wild was like, don't bother getting all these.
Breath of the Wild was like, you know, there's 900 in the game. Once you get 300, you're like, okay, yeah, you're done. You don't have to do any more of these. But no, you have to get all 175 of them in order to get 100%.
That's stupid.
It's ridiculous. And I could have had this game done a week and a half ago, but
they're not even fun to find in that game either.
No.
At least in Breath of the Wild, there's like
a little puzzle or something.
Yeah, cute little puzzles or whatever.
Yeah, this one, you just run up to a spot and click X or click Y, and there's like, hey, I'm here, you found me. It just ended up me going online, finding a map where they all are, and starting a mission and ignoring all of the objectives and just running to the spots like right off the bat.
Did you have to complete the mission afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No.
Yeah. So it was like 30 minutes per, and I had to do that, oh, geez, at least 20 or 30 times.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
Man,
it was
really bad. Now I know I need to get a map before I start the game.
Yeah. And the completion bonus, the 100%, you unlock a costume of Link from the first Hyrule Warrior.
Wow,
that's
sucks.
That's it.
You get the green tunic with the scarf and like the shoulder...
Pauldron.
That's better than what you get for 100%ing Hyrule Warriors 1, which was nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I'm curious to see what the DLC does. I will probably pick up the DLC just because...
Have they announced that they're officially doing it?
They have announced that they're officially doing it. It's coming out in two parts. The first part comes out end of next month. from the way it sounds, they're adding a bunch of characters and like advanced missions for those characters for the first half to kind of get them up to speed. The second half is post story. It's like an extra story. It's almost like a Mortal Kombat 11 story mode where the DLC had that entire secondary story mode aftermath.
Hmm.
So it looks like that's what they're doing. And it looks like they haven't announced what characters they're going to, what's going to be playable, but it's almost guaranteed that it's going to be Robbie. It's going to be Pura. It's going to be Suga, the big ninja man.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably going to be Aster, the main villain.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I honestly don't know who else they would pull to be in this game.
From the Breath of the Wild cast.
From either game. Mm-hmm. Because they were scraping the bottom of the barrel with this already, one as is. I mean, unless they want to bring that bird guy with the accordion. What's his name?
Which I'm surprised he wasn't in it
already. Yeah, people liked him a lot.
Kaz.
Yeah.
He is a breath of fresh air in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, he's my favorite character.
He was really good.
He's so upbeat all the time, and I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to talk Mortal Kombat.
I was just going to say, that's the other thing I checked out was the Mortal Kombat movie.
Because I watched it too. Oh.
You guys can talk about it. It's fine.
Well,
not
I don't know.
To spoil
I don't
anyway.
Know if there's anything really worth spoiling because it's just blunt stupidity.
Oh yeah, it's blunt force stupidity, but it's fun.
It's Mortal Kombat.
It was fine.
I enjoyed it, even though it is trash garbage 100%. But I had a good time watching it.
I had an okay time watching it. I don't know if I would call it good. I think I liked the original Mortal Kombat better, the one from 95, the one with Robin Shue.
I haven't seen that one since 95, so.
Yeah.
I mean, anything's got to be better than Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, God, that movie was awful. But no, this one, it's okay. I have some complaints. I have some gripes. You know, and a lot of it is story-based, which I realize...
It's
what
Mortal
I'm saying,
Kombat.
It's Mortal Kombat. You don't go in for the story, but...
And it was bad.
The story's bad. The story's a dirt from a garbage can.
Yeah.
But people are saying, yeah, you know what? Take out all the story because who cares about that? What do you have left? It's a bunch of...
Three fatalities.
It's a bunch of poorly choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like, they were mediocre fight scenes at best. Goro once again being a jobber.
Yeah. You'd think he would have had more to do with the plot, but he just kind of shows up.
He just kind of shows up to lose. Yeah, that's Goro's whole deal.
To get beat by the guy who is not even a Mortal Kombat character.
That is one of my main complaints with the movie. I don't like the main character. He is the whitest of white bread.
He's
nothing.
Just nothing.
Where it would have been very easy to take the movie in so many different directions and not have to introduce Mr. Bland, the character, Cole Young.
MMA fighter man.
Yeah, MMA fighter man with inexplicable tonfas at the end.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get Johnny Cage?
There is no Johnny Cage in this film.
You know, if you're just going to throw in some dude...
I mean, yeah, that's what Johnny Cage is for.
He is some dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had to set him up to be the tease for Mortal Kombat 2. Cole Young is going to Hollywood to find Johnny Cage.
Is that seriously what they do?
Yeah.
Oh, my
that's the
God.
End. Yeah. No, that's the... Okay. So we'll get back to Cole Young in a second. So in Mortal Kombat, what is the main purpose of Mortal Kombat?
For the guardians of whatever realm to fight for their freedom from the nether realm.
In a what?
Tournament.
Guess what's not in this movie?
Yeah, there's
a tournament.
There's no Mortal Kombat tournament in Mortal Kombat.
This is all build up. This is all prequel to the tournament that we can assume will happen in the next film, maybe.
I mean, listen, I gotta give the producer and writers credit. They're so convinced that they're gonna get a sequel to this thing.
Yeah.
That they're like, we don't even need to put the tournament into this film.
They're going to get that sequel. It's been making major money.
It has, and that's fine. That's cool.
It's good enough, too, video game movie-wise.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Video game movie is a really, really shallow barrel.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
To scrape the bottom of.
Yeah. But, like, so Cole Young, they could have done multiple different things. They could have gone the Johnny Cage route and had Johnny Cage be the insert character. They could have... had the movie actually focus on Sonya Blade, who is the character that actually had an arc and was interesting and probably had one of the best fight scenes in the movie.
And her actress was pretty good.
She was good. She was fine.
Was she still hunting down Kano?
She had found Kano by the start of this. This is more like she is post-military. She's heard about rumors of this interdimensional tournament and is kind of hunting people down who might be combatants.
She lives in a trailer with a pushpin string set up on her wall.
A conspiracy board.
Yeah.
And she was written fairly decently for an action girl protagonist character. Like, she wasn't that bad.
They didn't force her to fight the bad girl.
Yeah.
Like most action movies
do. Yeah, they always split the fights up by gender, but they only did that a little bit this
Just
time.
A little bit this time. but they could have focused the movie solely on her and removed Cole Young out of there. They could have taken the character that Cole Young is based kind of on in the games, Takeda Takahashi, one of the combat kids, one of the younger new generation
the combat kids.
Yeah, well, you know who I'm talking about, like Cassie Cage and Jax's daughter.
Mortal Kombat,
like
the next generation.
Kinda, yeah. But there's a character who's Takeda, who was raised by the Shirai Ryu ninja clan, and it was basically Cole, but
that's Scorpion's clan, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. Because Cole is the secret descendant of
Scorpion
in this.
Yeah, so he's like 1/10 Scorpion.
Yeah, and that gives him the power to have stupid armor and tonfas. Yeah.
It's like, well, they could have just made him go all the way Scorpion, and then he would have mattered in some way.
Yeah.
Could have been the next Scorpion or whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, that first scene that's set back in the past, the pre-credit scene, was fantastic.
Yeah, it was the best part of the movie.
The absolute best. It was the one that they had they released the first 5 or 10 minutes of the movie.
Like 7 minutes of?
7 minutes of.
Isn't that like Scorpion's like wife or something?
Scorpion's wife and kid get murdered by Bi-Han in like 1300s Japan, feudal Japan.
I didn't know any of the Mortal Kombat characters' actual names, so it took me a good 10 minutes
to
be like, oh, okay, he's Scorpion, he's Sub-Zero.
Yeah. I want to try to pick out a couple of good things. Kano is probably the best part of the movie.
Oh, his dialogue was funny in like a, this is, I don't want to say it was bad because it was kind of clever, but it was also just like.
It was clever bad.
Yeah.
It was clever bad.
Did he have an Australian accent?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. It was the thickest, dumbest Australian accent you'll ever hear. I liked that. So because they wanted to kill off a bunch of characters, they picked a bunch of lesser known villains.
Nintara was in this movie.
Nintara, the vampire lady with the bat lady. Who cares? General Reiko.
I love Nintara.
Yeah. General Reiko.
I didn't even know who he was.
Who cares about Reiko?
I'm like, who is this
Nobody
guy?
Cares about Reiko. Reiko is a Shao Kahn wannabe who sucks. But I'm glad to see they brought Cabal.
Oh, Cabal.
In it. And Cabal actually had a couple of really good lines,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Cabal was pretty cool. Like, yeah. Even his design is like, if you don't think about it, it's kind of cool.
It's kind of neat. Yeah. Yeah.
Jax's arms look like garbage until he got better arms.
Until his arcana was unlocked.
Until his robot arms became magic robot arms.
Yeah, so that's the whole conceit of this movie. Anyone who has been chosen as a protector of Earthrealm gets a tattoo, like
a scar of the
Mortal Kombat logo on their body somewhere. And if you kill someone with it, then you get that scar on your body. And if you train really, really hard, or in Kano's case, just get mad about someone not passing egg rolls, it unlocks your superpower. In Kano's case, one eye becomes a laser eye.
I thought it was because he had a cyborg face.
He has no cyborg parts in this movie.
Oh.
He just gets a
laser eye.
Inexplicable laser eye for reasons.
Just the one eye.
Just the one eye. Yeah.
Just like Sonya gets inexplicable pink laser hand.
And Jax gets, his robot arms go from little spindly weak robot arms to giant robot arms.
That are still
because magic.
They're still robot arms.
Yeah.
But they're somehow also magic.
Yeah. Kung Lao has a magic hat.
Yeah.
Well, he always had that stupid bladed hat.
I love Kano making fun of his frisbee hat. Because it's hilarious.
During the training montage with Kano and Kung Lao, I didn't realize they were doing this until after the movie, and I thought about it. They were riffing on, like, when you're a kid and you're playing the game and someone just does crouching low sweep over and over because that's the one move they know how to do, and they beat you because they just do this one thing over and over. That's what they were referencing. Because, yeah, Kung Lao would just crouching low sweep, yeah, you know, until he got mad and walked off.
Their costumes were good. They looked like the Mortal Kombat guys they were supposed to be.
They did look like the people they were supposed to be. That's very true.
Please tell me Scorpion didn't have, like, a living harpoon again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No.
I hated that in the original movie.
He did breathe fire, and then his face turned into a skull, kind of. Bottom half of his face turned into a skull.
That's right.
Not as blatant and as good as it is in the game when it is just stupid Ghost Rider.
I do think it's kind of funny that, so, other than Get Over Here, Scorpion only speaks exclusively Japanese. And he has this whole speech to Cole at the end about, I'm glad to see that my bloodline has become such a powerful fighter. Thank you for releasing me from the Nether Realm. But he's saying this all in Japanese to Cole Young, who is a plank of wood.
Yeah.
And very clearly does not understand what he is saying. It's just this guy walks up to him, says a bunch of Japanese stuff, and teleports away.
This dude from Chicago, which I do like that he's from Chicago, because that's where Mortal Kombat is from.
Yep. That is cool. That is cool.
NeverSoft is from...
Nether Realm.
That's what it is now.
Yeah, Nether Realm Studios.
And before that,
Midway.
It was... Yeah, Midway. Yeah. Which... Chicago boys.
Yep.
You in Chicago, bro.
But you know what? I think the second one will be better because they don't have to set anything up.
Yeah.
Just get straight to the dumb.
They did Reptile Dirty. Stupid. Yeah, it's the grand tradition of doing Reptile Dirty in these movies. Just like the first one, he is a big reptile. It's big invisible reptile man in this one.
Instead of Green Ninja who spits acid.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping within the first 5 minutes of the second movie, Cole Young gets iced.
I can see him doing that.
What, you mean like Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Yeah. But hey, how do you set up the stakes that anyone can die in the Mortal Kombat tournament?
Kill your main dude.
Yeah.
It's kill the main dude from the first one.
Pull a G.I. Joe.
I'm surprised at how like exact Kung Lao was, because that dude looks dumb.
Oh, he looks stupid, and he looked great and stupid.
Yeah.
They referenced Bo Rai Cho.
I can't believe they did that. They referenced the burping fart man from Mortal Kombat Deception or whatever.
Yeah. But it's fine. I think the second one's going to be better.
Liu Kang was pretty boring.
Liu Kang was very...
I mean, he usually is.
Yeah,
he is one of the worst characters to play in the game other than Bicycle
Kid.
Hey,
Ed Boon... hates Liu Kang to the point where he canonically killed him off and made him a zombie for like a couple of games because he just doesn't care.
He's not an interesting character.
He's not.
He was just there to fill a hole in the roster.
He's your Bruce Lee guy. He's lesser Ryu is what he is.
At least they got an Asian guy to play Raiden this time.
That's true. There was plenty of Asian people, thank God.
and Raiden was kind of a jerk, which is in line with the games because Raiden kind of sucks.
I mean, he's kind of a bored god.
I like when Scorpion introduced himself and he literally, like in Japanese, just did, "Watashi wa Scorpion-kun."
Yeah.
Not kun. That was super bad. Wow, don't leave that in. I mean, he's like, "Watashi wa Scorpion des." Like, I know what he said.
Scorpion-kun.
Scorpion-kun.
Sub-Zero-chan.
That's what they might as well
they
be
might
doing
as well
back
been
and
saying.
Forth.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't regret watching it.
Oh, I didn't regret watching it either. I just don't think it was a very good movie. If I would have gone to a theater to watch it, I would have...
Oh, I would have been pissed.
Yeah, because I tell you what, there was almost... there for a brief moment, thought was going to go down to 35 to see it at a beer tasting. And I would have been upset spending that kind of money to see it in theaters. If you're already paying for HBO Max, might as well watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I was out practically nothing, and I didn't regret my time spent.
And you know what? It's an hour and 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's relatively short. It's not 2 hours long. It gets in, it does its stupid stuff, and it gets out.
You get to see Kung Lao buzzsaw on half of Vampire Lady with his hat.
Yeah. I mean. Yep. Yeah, that is something that you do see. But
Is Noob Saibot in the movie?
Oh, no.
Well, technically, he is.
Is he?
Because Noob Saibot is the reanimated corpse of the original Sub-Zero, Bi-Han.
Oh, I forgot that was
yeah.
Sub-Zero's name, though. And yeah. I'm like, Bi-Han?
Bi-Han the Chinese ninja.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
The Lin Kuei.
The Chinese ninjas that,
yes.
that are things.
Yes.
In the Mortal Kombat
universe. This is what you get when you have a bunch of white guys from Chicago write your kung fu epic video game.
Who just mo-capped a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. They did not put in mo-cap.
No, they didn't.
The character mocap.
Or meat. I hope meat is in the sequel.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the characters that were killed off in this one come back because, I mean, Shang Tsung said like, oh yeah, death doesn't mean anything to Outworld and Netherrealm. So basically, they can just pull from whoever at this point.
Your soul is mine.
He did say that.
Oh.
He did say that. Someone does get their soul sucked, and it was...
They say all the things you would want them
yes,
to say.
Yes, they do hit all of the high points.
Except for Toasty.
They don't, no. That would have been good. But no, they say get over here. They say fight. They say fatality.
They say flawless victory.
Flawless
Most
victory.
Of them come out of Kung Lao for some reason.
Yeah. He's the meme factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a quick one here before we go.
We're at 30 minutes. You know what? Hey, let's go ahead and take a break. We might do another check them out or two before we get into the news. So stick around. Hey, we're back. That was Moving Right Along by The Muppets.
We'll explain that one.
We'll explain later. That one here in a minute. But yeah, but first classic. we're gonna move right along to one of our last check-ems. Cody, you said you had a real quick one here.
Yeah, I played a game today that is also kickstarting right okay. now, so it's kind of time sensitive.
Yeah.
Because there's a demo that's going away after this week. It's called Whisker Squadron.
Okay.
And it's kind of like it's Star Fox with cats.
Oh, nice.
On your computer that's procedurally generated.
Oh, so interesting. Okay.
So it generates a run that's kind of like a Star Fox game.
Mm-hmm. Can you do a barrel roll?
Yes, you can.
Nice. Okay, then I'm sold.
And it plays. I played the demo today. I played through it like 3 or 4 times, honestly.
Nice.
And it's very good. It feels very Star Fox. It has a very low poly count look like the original Star Fox, but is a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd have to be.
Yeah.
And the characters are cute. It's all cats and bad guy dog robots.
Okay.
And the random generation, I feel like it works pretty good. It just like shuffles different parts of the environment through, and then it shuffles a different boss at the end.
Oh, right on.
And yeah, fought 2 or 3 different ones. There's only 2 characters in the demo you can choose from, but of course they're going to do more.
Oh, right on.
And they have different special moves that change the way your special moves work. Like the main cat has like a 3 locking missiles that you mm-hmm. can use to lock onto 3 guys at once. The other cat has like a shockwave bomb that's like the one from Star Fox.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, awesome. So this one, how much time does the Kickstarter have on it? Do you know?
Oh, let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
It's kind of important.
Okay.
But I really liked it. I've Kickstarted it.
Nice.
I chipped in my money.
Nice. Speaking of Kickstarter, I saw Mystery Science Theater has about halfway through. So they've already funded what like their bare minimum, and they're halfway through their
stretch goals,
their actual goals that they wanted to hit.
Okay.
And they've added a level where you get only the digital rewards. You don't get any of the physical rewards.
Mm.
And so you get a year of the Gizmoplex. You get all of the episodes downloadable. Anything that they do for the year downloadable, that sort of thing.
Mm.
And it's very tempting because I don't need more stuff.
Oh, I want all the trash. I'm probably going to give them way more money than I should. Anyway, Whisker Squadron has 6 more days left on it. It's already made its goal.
Okay, so 6 more days as of this recording, so about 3 days from the time you're actually listening to this.
Yeah, and it's got plenty of secret stretch goals right now, that customizable ships, which they are a little bit customizable already.
Oh, cool.
Like, as you go through, you pick your route like you do in Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ones that have shops in them, and you collect money as you go. I was just really impressed, and it already plays really well for something as early as it is.
Okay.
So go check out Whisker Squadron.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and get into some news.
Oh, banana.
So the news, we played the Muppet song at the break because there is a little bit of Muppet news. Apparently Disney Plus is going to be working on a biopic around Jim Henson.
Yeah, a Jim Henson biopic.
Called Muppet Man.
Should have been called Master of Muppets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would have been good.
And now that we've set up and executed that joke, we can move on.
We can move on. But no, seriously, this, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of goes. I don't know how they would do better than the Defunct Land 6-parter.
Oh, it's that, so good.
If you wanted to know anything about the Muppets and Jim Henson's life, it's on YouTube and it's free. It's fantastic. Kevin Perger did a really good job. But it'll be interesting to see like who they cast as
Jim Henson.
Get ready to cry at the funeral episode too. Good Lord.
Oh my God. Yeah, that killed me the first time through watching it. It was rough. They better not pick someone like John Krasinski to play
Jim Henson.
You know what?
Jim Henson.
Yeah.
I threw up a little when you said that.
You know what? They'll just get Tom Hanks. That's kind of what he does nowadays.
Yeah.
He just works on biopics.
I wouldn't be mad.
No, I'd be fine with it. Yeah. He's a little old, but...
I mean, he was already Walt Disney.
Yeah.
And Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Henson's life isn't... I don't think it's, like, terribly dramatic.
It's not their...
I mean, it's interesting.
It's interesting. I think if they wanted to find the dramatic stuff... The one thing that the YouTube, the Defunct Land documentary kind of shied away from was the fact that at one point he became legally separated from his, well, not legally separated, but separated from his wife and was like having extramarital stuff while living in London working on the Muppet Show. And if they wanted to crank up the drama end of things, they could highlight that. Although that feels... kind of disingenuous.
Yeah, it feels gross.
That seems kind of gross. I would rather them just talk about Muppets. Those cool, cool Muppets. Now, the question is, will they be using the current Muppet actors to portray the Muppets? Or are we going to have wrong-sounding Kermit through the entire movie?
Wrong-sounding Kermit's all we got now.
Well, that's true.
Ever since they fired Steve Whitmore for no reason.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a reason.
Probably.
There probably was a reason, but we're never going to know.
Yeah. And then they hired the guy who the joke it was that he played a character who couldn't do Kermit's voice right.
Yeah.
To do Kermit's voice. And I've gotten used to it.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
It's close enough. It's
just hire you, Sam.
Well, you know, it's not easy being green. So anyway, let's move on to the next topic here. So next topic, Jeff Goldblum is going to be appearing on a D&D podcast. That sounds amazing, but it's kind of a bait and switch art news article.
Yeah.
Turns out...
We gotcha. We clickbaited you.
We clickbaited you in audio form. So it turns out he is not going to be... like playing the D&D game, but he's going to be guesting on a couple of episodes as an NPC on a previously established podcast called Dark Dice. Still pretty cool that he's kind of doing this thing. I mean, he's kind of really leaning heavy into the whole...
He's a walking meme.
Walking meme kind of thing, yeah.
He will not touch a singular die.
Not a single one. And they'll just let him walk in and be Jeff Goldblum.
You know... With all the, you know, known celebrities who do play D&D, you think it'd be real easy to make some kind of big blockbuster D&D podcast or whatever, that would just go gangbusters.
I mean, there are plenty of them.
It's Critical Role.
It's Critical Role with the voice actors and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, didn't Joe Manliago?
Yeah, he plays D&D.
Mangione?
Chuck Mangione.
Mangione?
He rolled those dice and it felt so good.
Him and Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although the Joe, I can't even, whatever.
Joe Michelangelo.
Joe Michelangelo. He's a party dude. He has stated that he's talked to Vin Diesel and he doesn't believe Vin Diesel played a whole lot of D&D. He's like, nah, he doesn't. He maybe dabbled in it a little bit, but
I don't know. I just know he's made comments about it before. And in the, I want to say it was the 30th anniversary D&D like book or whatever, he has like a big insert in the beginning of the book.
He doesn't know his handy haversack from his bag of holding.
Nerd.
But no, this is, I mean, it's kind of cool that he's, that Goldblum's jumping into some of this stuff. And
I have never heard of that podcast, so it makes me wonder, like, what,
apparently it's in its second season,
what drew Jeff Goldblum to that particular podcast. And
because
not,
they probably offered him money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then that makes me wonder, how much is Jeff Goldblum? Could we get a Jeff Goldblum?
The Adventure Zone was pretty saturated there for a bit. Like, it was real close to breaking the mainstream. And
it almost did.
Yeah, and then they
botched it. They kind of stumbled at the 5-yard line a little bit.
Sports nerd.
fantasy football, you know. Yeah. It's still fantasy, you guys.
Yeah, oh, man, yeah. I love Blood Bowl from Games Workshop.
Oh, you know what? I picked that up on Switch the other day.
Blood Bowl?
Mutant League. Mutant League Football. It's fine. It's fun. You know, it's not usually my style of game, but, you know, it's fun. It's a lot of micromanagement when it comes to, like, your monster characters. You know, they do get tackled and impaled on things when you play the football. But, yeah, that's fine. All right, so next up, Captain America 4. It's a thing that's happening.
Yes.
Apparently, the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, the ratings were high enough that Marvel Disney has decided to move ahead with a fourth movie starring Captain Falcon.
They name drop Captain Falcon in the show.
Oh, they do. Nice.
I don't think they do it on purpose. They don't know who Captain Falcon is, but they say Captain Falcon.
Did they show the moves?
No.
Okay, no.
All of Falcon and Winter Soldier is just setting up this movie, pretty much.
Really? Yeah, I kind of figured. I kind of figured as much. But no, it's cool that they're moving ahead with this. I'd be interested to see where it goes from where Falcon and Winter Soldier ended. I haven't sat and watched it yet, but I'm on the internet, so I've been spoiled enough that I kind of know what's...
I have been spoiled a whole lot, mostly from seeing, like I know U.S. Agent is pseudo bad guy, and I know, like I said, pseudo. Kills a man.
He kind of rolls a little bit further to that by the end of the series, right?
Yeah. But
He goes full U.S. Agent by the end of the series, I believe. He ends up with that costume, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was going to say,
they end up literally calling him U.S. Agent.
Oh, well, there
end,
you go.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I've seen pictures of, like, the costumes. I'm like, those are comic accurate.
That's cool. Fine. Yeah. I'm good with it. But no, yeah, it's, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes and where it kind of fits in the grander scheme of things.
Captain Falcon's costume is very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in the comics. Yeah. It was fantastic.
It's very comic accurate.
Yeah. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
In the show.
They definitely seem to be fitting this stuff better in than they tried with, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, the other Marvel TV series.
This is like they're actually doing the thing that S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm curious to see if this ends up with, like, Captain America, Captain Falcon and the Young Avengers. Like, he has to mentor a team of young heroes because they're setting up a lot of those characters. I've said that before. That they're setting up the Young Avengers.
Well, yeah, we've already had Wiccan show up.
Wiccan and Speed, we've had...
They're not going to call either of those things.
Probably not, but they were in WandaVision.
Yeah.
They've set up Scott Lang's daughter as Stature because they've conveniently aged her up to 18 or 19. Kate Bishop is going to be in the Hawkeye show. It's rumored very heavily that the Secret Invasion show that's going to be part of the second round of these Disney Plus shows with Nick Fury is going to feature Hulkling.
Changeling,
Hulkling, whatever they are, whatever they
like. That was so weird when the Young Avengers came out because they were like, you know, they were this name, but then all these things happened. Now these are their names.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of a situation where they started off as kind of like fanboys.
Yeah, like they were analogs
and came into their own.
Yeah. Well, Iron Lad just ended up being a freaking Ultron.
No, he wasn't an Ultron.
I thought he was an Ultron.
He was Young Kang the Conqueror, who was going to be the villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Mm.
We got She-Hulk coming, too.
We do have a She-Hulk, yes. With, what's her name?
Orphan Black.
Orphan Black Lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I hope is just like Ally McBeal, but the Hulk.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really hoping for. Speaking of which, there's also a trailer for Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
It's a lot of rings. Dropped.
It's a lot of rings. One for each finger.
It's going to take a long time for him to get all those rings. It's going to be a long movie.
Yeah, right?
I mean, how long it took Frodo to get one ring to a mountain?
It's like double the Captain Planet rings.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the Sonic movie, but I don't know how many rings he gets in that. Probably.
I just hope he doesn't get hit because he's going to lose all those rings.
Yeah. Shang-Chi, just all 10 of those rings come flying out of him when he gets punched.
Sounds like when you're checking out at a BP.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That always throws me off.
I know.
To this day, you go in there, you check out, and you hear the
point, Sonic ring.
The Sonic ring sound.
Awkwafina going to be like, oh my God, all those rings.
But no, cool kung fu epic.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to seeing a slightly different style of filmmaking within the Marvel universe and kind of looking at a different side of things. They're going more mystic again, which is good.
Works for Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned that the main plot of this shares a lot of similarities to Batman Begins.
Mm.
Because you have guy who's been trained by secret organization.
But then has to fight secret organization.
Fight secret organization. Yeah.
Well, I also saw a thing where like they were like dissecting the trailer and whatnot, and they think we might have seen like whoever it maybe was the Iron Fist or will be the next Iron Fist.
Okay.
Because there's somebody dressed in yellow, in green and yellow.
Oh, good. They're going to dump that guy that was Iron Fist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, that's just a rumor, or maybe like that was someone who was connected to the Iron Fist. That you don't get like a real good look at them.
I'm just glad we have the villain Razor Fist who has knives for hands. That's his power.
Well, yeah.
His hands are knives.
I mean, there have been multiple Razor Fists, but there's also a thing that particular Razor Fist might have the Muramasa blade.
That is up there
with
Taser Face.
Taser Face.
That is a stupid name. Why do you call yourself that? Did Taser shoot out of your face? It's a metaphor. For what? That was probably one of the best bits in all of the
MCU. That was really good. Yeah. Yeah.
The Marvel movies are always at their best when they're mixing genre.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Do something a little different. We've seen, I mean, it's going to be another origin story, but yeah,
it's an origin story for a character that a lot of people probably don't know.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like, you know, oh, here we go again with another Uncle Ben getting shot kind of thing, you know?
It's true.
If they are recasting Iron Fist, that doesn't bode well for the people from the good shows, the good Netflix shows.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I heard they're trying to get them back. Or I saw some article like yesterday about they're might be trying to refold them back in, or
please do.
I hope so.
Please fold in Luke Cage, please.
Charlie Cox was great as Daredevil.
Yeah. Oh, I know, I loved it.
And Kristen Ritter is great Jessica
Jones. She's great Jessica Jones. It was really just Iron Fist that was
the
worst.
The weak link.
And Punisher.
And
Punisher. I forgot about Punisher.
Yeah. Anyway.
The less we say about Punisher, the better.
Anyway. Okay, so I've been picking up a lot of these topics. Why don't you guys pick one? Balls in your court. Sports metaphor.
Oh, I dropped it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Out of bounds.
The Noid's back, everybody.
Oh, God. Hide your pizzas.
Yeah, avoid him.
Avoid the Noid.
Yeah, we watched this commercial for... it's a commercial for the Domino's, like...
Driverless delivery
pod that is terrifying.
Self-driving delivery oven.
Oh man, I'm just.
Oh, that would be nuts if it also made the pizza.
Oh, that would be actually kind of cool. But
no, it'd be very hot.
Just shot a hot pizza out the side at your house.
It's like a
paperboy style.
Well, I was gonna say it's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles battle van toy.
No.
With its pizza disc shooter.
That was a different toy.
Oh, that was a different toy.
Yeah, that was the pizza launcher vehicle.
Oh yeah,
I had that launcher. And the battle van.
Nice.
That thing was loud and stupid.
Oh yeah. But no, just do that in real life with Domino's pizzas.
It'll just strip the veneer right off your house.
Like just launch some piping hot za right at your sidewalk.
After the first day of testing, there's like melted vinyl siding and pizzas everywhere and birds caught in cheese.
Oh, man. What if they called the vehicle the Noid and you have to avoid getting pelted by smelling hot pizza.
Third degree burns from flying pizza.
Whatever you do, avoid the Noid.
We started the machine and we can't stop it. Please avoid the Noid machine.
And then every city gets their own version of Pizza Rat.
Oh, yeah.
We uploaded the new AI, the N01D. And it's taken over.
Pizza Terminators.
We can't access the mainframe. The cars won't stop delivering boiling hot pizzas.
Just won't stop launching pizzas.
This is my treatment for Avoid the Noid, the movie.
Yep.
In a world, that ate too much pizza. And it's Domino's. It's not even good pizza.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
I think that's the greatest villainy of all.
But I'm glad the Noid's back.
Yeah, the Noid's.
Yeah, you want to talk about like mascots that no one's thought about in like 25 years.
He's a fun mascot until he drove that man crazy.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I won't get into that on here, but it is a wild story.
It's a crazy one.
That you should look up why they stopped the Noid, why they canceled the Noid.
Well, yeah.
Which made me surprised they brought him back. I mean, the odds that
it's been
would
long enough.
Yeah, the odds that would happen again are very slim.
It's true. That's true.
I mean, speaking of film franchises that may or may not should happen, so The World of Darkness, aka Vampire the Masquerade, Werewolf the Apocalypse, all that stuff.
Mage, the Dark Lightning.
Whatever. I can't remember what Mage is called.
I'm just making it up.
These are mostly just
The Ascension or something.
Yeah.
Book covers I've seen at a game store.
Yeah, half price books.
Not D&D.
Yeah, things that aren't D&D. That
Werewolf the Heroning.
Wow.
Oh,
wow. I'll have to shave that joke for later. So anyway.
Vampire the Rebloodening.
The Rebloodening.
Anyway, continue.
That joke bites.
The Gillifying.
Okay, you're fired. You're done. You go to jail.
The Phantom Maskening.
Shut up. So
I can do one for every Universal monster if you want.
Well, I think they only really focus on vampires, werewolves, and wizards.
Yeah.
The three classic monster types.
Urban fantasy.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yes, urban fantasy.
Anyway, continue.
So anyway... Go. World of Darkness is getting a TV series and a movie. We don't know exactly what all it's going to encompass. If it's going to be just the vampires or the vampires and the werewolves or whatever.
Which one's Sparkle?
Neither.
Good.
I mean, the thing is with like the World of Darkness stuff, they've had a couple good video games. Like with the Vampire the Masquerade.
Very good in the case of Masquerade. It's probably one of my favorites, even for how buggy it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got this whole like societal cast of vampires, which is really interesting stuff to read about. Do I actually want to play the role-playing game? No. Not particularly. I'll play a video game, but I don't want to sit down with other people and...
pretend to be vampires. Yeah. That's a big ask of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are really into it.
Oh, you know, and that's what keeps me away from it. I've heard some horror stories from the table LARPing-esque of vampires.
I would love to play vampire, but it would take, you know, players that not like aren't going to get into it too much. Like,
yeah, it's the same.
Like my vampire game would skew more towards what we do in the shadows than anything else.
That would be good. Yep.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it does. though I'm not, especially after the big snafu of the last Vampire the Masquerade role-playing update where there was some problematic language in the book.
I don't know what it is about World of Darkness, but anytime they try to do anything, it's always a struggle for them to...
They always have trouble with it. Yeah.
For some reason, it's always kicking and screaming to finish anything or do anything without being offensive.
Yeah.
In the case of the last Masquerade book.
Yeah, the last rules edition or whatever it was.
I forget what they did, but they did a whoopsie.
Yeah, it was... problematic. Yeah. It was. I remember it was problematic language, and it was about. I want to say the LGBT community, maybe.
I thought it was something about Nazis,
or maybe that's what it was. I can't remember.
Well,
anyway, we will see where it goes.
But yeah, there's been multiple World of Darkness video games that have gone nowhere. The current Vampire the Masquerade game that they're working
Bloodlines 2
is in trouble.
It's in limbo.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll see where this goes.
There was an MMO that the people that make EVE Online were supposed to have made that just kind of dissipated into nothing.
That kind of happened with a lot of MMOs, though, because I feel like that bubble popped a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I think that's a fantastic setting for an MMO, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from what I heard, the Secret World MMO was great.
Excuse me. That's a good one. You can still play that. That's still running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you play like various secret societies vying against mythology and everything. Yeah,
it basically takes a place in a world where every conspiracy is real type of thing. Like their fast travel, you go inside the Hollow Earth fast travel to different places on the planet.
Oh, avoid the Kong.
Yeah.
Avoid Kong.
All right, well, hey, listen, we are actually at time, let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, or give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. That number is 586-372-8020. Leave us a message, and we might play it on the show!
That's right. We're also on various podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.
Oh, no.